The Baptist Hour, presented by the Radio Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, in cooperation with the Southern Religious Radio Conference. Are essential to the American way of life. One, an educated citizenship. Democracy of the American type cannot survive in a land in which the average citizen is uneducated. Two, modern education is costly. In 1946, the American taxpayers paid a fabulous sum for public education, including elementary and high schools, colleges, and universities. Three, complete separation of church and state in the matter of education, including all costs of education. The American way of life depends upon the continuation of this time-honored principle. Four, American civilization must remain predominantly Christian. The American way of life cannot survive in a pagan civilization. Five, a Christian civilization is dependent upon an educated Christian leadership. Christian leadership must be educated in the Christian school and college. Today's broadcast seeks to help you see once again how vitally important is Christian education in America today and tomorrow.
For the angry surges roll on my tempest driven soul. I am peaceful, for I know, while it all the winds may blow, I'm an anchor safe and sure, and in Christ I shall
says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. When applied to America, this scripture simply means that except the Lord build our American civilization, all our sacrifices in her interest will fail. Unless this nation rests under divine favor, all our military preparedness and defenses are of no avail. Hence, once again, we call you to daily prayer. We invite you to become one of 1 million who will pray daily for a revival which will give God complete control in American life. It would help you and encourage others if you would enroll by sending your name to the Baptist Hour today. A postcard will do. Will you join us in prayer now as Dr. D.J. Evans, pastor of Gordon Street Baptist Church of Atlanta, leads us? Who has set eternity in our hearts, give us the grace never to be content only with the things we see. For all the beauties of the world, for all the knowledge which is our possession, for all the achievements of men which have been directed to human welfare, we are grateful. Nevertheless, O Lord, grant us to discover this day that with all our fitness and preparation, with all our knowledge and education, without Thee, we can do nothing as we ought. In the midst of all our seeking, grant us first to seek Thy kingdom. In every choice, may the living Christ be present. Inspire all who this day worship Thee to pray and work in the name of Christ, that through Thy Holy Spirit may come to pass a vital spiritual awakening, one that shall give to us the directing and guiding power of Thy love. So bless the speaker of this hour, and all who listen, to the end that the many shall see Jesus and accept Him as Lord and Savior. Amen.
Savior, Thy dying love Thou gavest me. Nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from Thee.
Dr. W.S. Allen, president of John B. Stetson University, DeLand, Florida, is our speaker today. His subject, Christ in Education. Dr. Allen.
The late loved and honored Dr. Lee R. Scarborough once said, "I think the most majestic picture God ever painted on the canvas of the world is a saved, educated, consecrated man." In that one sentence, the great and good man described the product of education with Christ in it. Saved, educated, consecrated. Education offers opportunity for the development of powers and talents of students, for the discovery of truth. Education with Christ in it does this and much more. It offers opportunity for students to grow in stature and in wisdom, and in understanding of man, and in love of God. It purposes to strengthen the spiritual life and improve the conduct of the students. It includes the development of the physical, the mental, the social, the aesthetic, the emotional, the moral, the spiritual. It proposes the growth, yes, the enrichment of man in his own ideals and thinking, in his relationships with the universe in which he lives, in his relationships with God. It therefore is education that develops the whole personality, as God would have it developed in each individual. It is complete education. Its dominant purpose is to develop dynamic Christian character and to send out young men and women to minister to life. It was Emerson who said, "The measure of a civilization is the character of the people a nation turns out." Education with Christ in it begins in the home where the Christian father and mother teach their children to know Jesus and to love him and to live his ideals. It continues through life in the Sunday school and the church. Today, I am dealing with Christian education in the college and the university. I pause to add that if the Christian college is to be most effective, its scholarship standards must be of the highest. Cultural advantages must be of the best. Teachers must be the most scholarly and cultured Christians that can be secured. Libraries, laboratories, and other equipment must be adequate. Courses must be offered in the 6 or 7 great fields of world knowledge. Respect for truth must be developed wherever truth may be found, with the realization and assurance that all truth comes from God, who is truth, and whose Son said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I would pay tribute first to public education from the kindergarten through our great state universities, and to the Christian men and women who teach in those institutions. Our very form of government demands that every citizen be informed if democracy is to last. Freedom and learning have marched ever hand in hand. I am for public education as far as public education can go, but the state cannot teach religion, and rightly so. Hence, alongside of state education, we must have education with Christ in it, for at least 2 reasons. One, to educate young people for places of leadership in our denominational life. 2, to develop a responsible Christian citizenship for our nation and the world. As we turn back the pages of history, we find the contributions of education with Christ in it to American progress. 23 of the first 24 colleges founded in America were Christian colleges. Of the first 119 colleges and universities established east of the Mississippi River, 104 were Christian colleges and universities, and of the 250 institutions of higher learning founded before the war between the states, 233 were builded on Christian principles. 70% of the colleges and universities in the United States today can trace their origin to Christian influences. The great leaders of early America, who gave us the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, and the basic ideals of the American way of life, were the product of education with Christ in it. President John W. Reilly was correct when he said the inculcation of Christian principles into political philosophy gave birth to the world's first great democracy. The American democracy was born in the Christian college and nurtured by it for the first 150 years. 16 of the first 18 presidents of the United States who were college graduates were graduates of Christian schools. 7 of the first 8 chief justices of the Supreme Court who were college graduates were the product of education with Christ's principles. 98% of our Baptist missionaries and 90% of all missionaries of all denominations came out of education with Christ in it. Christian education has given us Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, Henry W. Longfellow, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Horace Mann, Jane Addams, S. Parks Cadman, Charles Evans Hughes, Robert A. Milliken, Elihu Root, Robert E. Speer, B. H. Carroll, E. Y. Mullins, Luther Bagby and Mrs. Bagby, Samuel Palmer Brooks, Eugene Salee, Lee R. Scarborough, N. M. McCall, George W. Truett, and a host of other noble leaders in every worthy work of life, men and women alike. Education with Christ in it gives enduring values of life. Highest respect for truth in every realm and from every source. Clear, constructive, and courageous thinking on every problem. A view of the whole world as one world, and some understanding of the needs and hopes and ideals of all peoples, white and black and red and brown and yellow, and reminds that God made them all and that we are our brother's brother. Education with Christ in it teaches that learning never ceases as long as life is. Education with Christ in it gives perspective, vision, through a study of the experience of the race in the humanities, the natural sciences, the social sciences, in music and art and law and Bible. Education with Christ in it helps each student find and prepare for the particular work that he or she was born into the world to do. Education with Christ in it teaches the highest expression of patriotism, love of liberty, love of equality, love of justice, love of humanity, love of the brotherhood of man, an equal opportunity for all the sons of men. Education with Christ in it gives a Christian philosophy of life and goes hand in hand with the Christian home and the church in pointing young people to God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are some of the enduring values of education with Christ in it. For the years ahead, the home, the church, the Christian school, these three must join in a more dynamic partnership for the educational and spiritual development of our country and the civilization of the world. Christian education and the church and Christian citizens have never faced a greater challenge than they face at the present hour. The world is in confusion. Peace still hangs between life and death. Most of the peace treaties are yet to be signed. Millions of starving people are to be fed. 300 million youths of teenage among the submerged peoples of the world have never had 1 hour of formal education and have never heard of Christ in education. More than half of the 2 billion of people in the world are unable to read or write a single word in any language, and most of the others have had but little training in political democracy. Russia and the United States yet have to come to an understanding if the peace of the world is to be maintained. India, on the threshold of independence, is threatened with civil war because of the contentions of two religious sects. Her nearly 400 million people need Christ in education. China, with more than 400 million of people, is in the midst of civil war. Belgium is suffering from wounds and contentions of the past. France is confused and weak and divided. Italy is struggling against communism. The Palestine issue is still unsettled. The philosophies of Germany and Japan are to be dealt with in the years ahead. The United Nations organization is still to be developed. It will grow as the peoples of the world grow in intelligence, in goodwill, and in the spirit of the brotherhood of man. The more its growth is hampered and delayed by whatever cause, the more likelihood of World War No. 3 and the complete destruction of civilization. These are some of the conditions around the world. In our own country, we have confusion and greed and selfishness and ignorance and prejudice caused by ignorance, political chicanery in high places and in low, pressure groups and blocs, racial disputes and misunderstandings and hatred. Too little faith in God and too little working for God by helping humanity around the world. 60% of our adult population belong to no church, either Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, or Baptist. Serious crime reached a new high mark for the decade in 1946, the total number of serious crimes being 1,685,203 for the year. The cost in money is estimated at $15 billion a year, $40 million a day, $28,000 a minute. The cost in human suffering is incalculable. If civilization is to be saved and made better, it will be through the leadership of saved, educated, Christ-loving, Christ-obeying, Christ-serving, Christ-living men and women. This is the world's supreme need today and tomorrow. The church and education with Christ in it have the values that are the saving power of civilization. Through these institutions, we must call humanity up again to those ideals, those foundations which cannot fail. The foundation of cultured Christian homes. Homes founded on love that is as pure as the blue of the sky and as lasting as time. Homes where Christ dwells. Homes where at every meal God is thanked for his blessing. Homes where the day is begun by asking his guidance and help. Where his book is read and studied, and where the principles of Jesus are followed. Homes that are places of love and comradeship and joy and work. Dr. Millard A. Jenkins has expressed the ideal so beautifully. So long as there are homes that pray, we still can hope. The nation will not lose its way, nor in darkness grope. For he shall go before who is the light, and guide its steps aright. So long as there are homes whose anchors hold faith and hope and love and courage bold, and there is strength to labor and patience to endure, a nation is secure. So long as there are homes with fires of faith aglow that seek God's way and follow where his banners go, and women pray and men of God draw nigh, a nation cannot die. We must call humanity up to the foundation of Christian citizenship in a democratic society. We should all read again the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, Washington's farewell address, Lincoln's second inaugural, Woodrow Wilson's road away from revolution. We should read again Christ's Sermon on the Mount and remember that he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world, and by their fruits ye shall know them." We should read again 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We should read again Micah 6:8. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God." We must revive again in our people those fundamental virtues: honesty, honor, reliability, sincerity, truthfulness, integrity, humility, moral cleanness, reverence for God. The first thing in knowledge is reverence for the eternal. What makes a city great and strong? Not architecture's graceful strength, nor factory's extended length, but men who see the civic wrong and give their lives to make it right and turn the darkness into light. What makes a city men can love? Not things that charm the outward sense, nor gross display of opulence, but right which wrong cannot remove, and truth that faces civic fraud and smites it in the name of God. This is the city which shall stand a light upon the nation's hill, a voice that evil cannot still, a source of blessing to the land, its strength not brick, nor stone, nor wood, but justice, love, and brotherhood. We must call humanity up to the foundation of appreciation and enjoyment of the beautiful in life through literature and music and art and nature and love for God's holy word, and away from the cheap and the low and the sordid and the unworthy. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Help us, O God, to see thy beauties and to realize that every beautiful thing is the expression of a divine thought to lift us nearer to thee. We must call humanity up to the foundation of a triumphant faith in God, man's supreme need today and every tomorrow. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, his kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod, as brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God.
Rise up!
Dr. W.S. Allen on the subject Christ in Education. A printed copy of his message and a prayer league card may be had free by sending your postal card request to the Baptist Hour in care of the station to which you are now listening.
Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down.
Time next week and over the same station, we continue the Baptist Hour series, Christ the Answer. That program will originate at the Baptist Assembly Grounds, Ridgecrest, North Carolina, and will feature the 40th anniversary of Young Woman's Auxiliary, with Mrs. George R. Martin of Norfolk, Virginia, as the principal speaker. Her subject, The Christian Imperative. All YWA organizations in the territory are cordially invited to hold radio breakfast meetings and listen to the program in groups. This program, presented by the Radio Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention in cooperation with the Southern Religious Radio Conference, is a contribution to the religious life of our day, is broadcast on a sustaining basis by a network of 57 independent stations and around the world by shortwave. Baptist Hour originated in the studios of Religious Radio Center, Atlanta, Georgia. Your announcer, Ward Adams. Independent Network.